Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, May 18th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Today is Jane Helm's birthday. She is a receptionist and financial assistant at the church. Jane, thank you for all your ministry to Mount Brook Baptist, and we hope you have a wonderful birthday. We start with Exodus chapter 39. We'll be beginning in verse 22, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. We're continuing our conversation about the priestly garments, and then at the end of this chapter, Moses is going to inspect the tabernacle. They made the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth, the work of a weaver, with an opening in the center of the robe like an opening of a collar, and a band around this opening so that it would not tear. They made pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely twisted linen around the hem of the robe. And they made bells of pure gold and attached them around the hem between the pomegranates. The bells and pomegranates alternated around the hem of the robe to be worn for ministering, as the Lord commanded Moses. For Aaron and his sons, they made tunics of fine linen, the work of a weaver, and the turban of fine linen, the linen headbands, and the undergarments of finely twisted linen. The sash was of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, the work of an embroiderer, as the Lord commanded Moses. They made the plate, the sacred diadem, out of pure gold and engraved on it, like an inscription on a seal, "Holy to the Lord." Then they fastened a blue cord to it and attached it to the turban, as the Lord commanded Moses. So all the work of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, was completed. The Israelites did everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. Then they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasps, frames, crossbars, posts, and bases, the covering of ram skins dyed red, the covering of hides of sea cows, and the shielding curtain, the Ark of the Testimony with its poles and the atonement cover, the table with all its articles, and the bread of the presence, the pure gold lampstand with its rows of lamps and all its accessories, and the oil for the light, the gold altar, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense, and the curtain for the entrance to the tent, the bronze altar with its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, the curtain of the courtyard with its posts and bases, and the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the ropes and tent pegs for the courtyard, all the furnishings of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and the woven garments worn for ministering in the sanctuary, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when serving as priests. The Israelites had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspected the work and saw that they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. So Moses blessed them. Before we move on, I just want to imagine the scene with you. All the people who have done this magnificent work for the tabernacle are bringing it before Moses to present it to him. And the refrain again today is the same. They were doing the work as the Lord commanded Moses. And when Moses inspected it all, he wanted to see if it was done just as the Lord commanded. It made me think about some verses over in Colossians chapter 3 that talk about when we do our work, whether we do it to the Lord. Listen to these verses, verses 23 and 24. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." Moses blessed the people when he saw that they had done what the Lord asked. And Colossians reminds us that we too will be blessed when we do our work as to the Lord. We are making our way through the Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 142, which is a maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Let's take a look back at verse 3. It says, when my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who knows my way. It seems as if David is overwhelmed by his situation, but he cries out with knowledge that God is the one who ultimately knows his way. And we can find comfort in this like David found comfort in it. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen, and he felt very weak. He didn't know the right way. He felt as though all those around him had abandoned him, but he cried out to the one who never, ever abandons us. The Lord, our refuge, as he says in verse 5, our portion in the land of the living. Let's move on now to 1 Corinthians. Today we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 14, and we'll read all the way to chapter 11 and verse 1. The title in this section says Idol Feast and the Lord's Supper, and what's going on here is that some of the believers in Corinth are sharing in the Lord's Supper, but it seems as though they're also kind of eating at the pagan temples. I'm not really sure. I think for our understanding, it is helpful that the language here reminds us of what happens when we consume the Lord's Supper, that we are participating somehow in remembering and proclaiming Christ as Lord. And then in the last part of this section, it's about the believer's freedom. So they're wrestling with the idea of like, well, if it's by grace that we're saved, then why do I have to obey any kind of laws? And Paul is going to give them kind of a rubric for how they determine how to use their freedom. Starting in verse 14. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean that then a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience sake. The other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. For why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Let's hang our hats on verse 31 today. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to listen to your word and to read it together. We're reminded of your goodness to us, that you are our refuge, you are our strong tower. We can cry to you, and you never leave us or forsake us. Help us to do our work as unto the Lord, and whatever we do, would we do it for your glory, as those who constructed the tabernacle did. We pray over our brothers and sisters today in this fellowship and beyond. We ask your blessings on them, especially those who have birthdays today. And for them, Lord, we pray this blessing from the Book of Common Prayer. Watch over your children, Lord, as their days increase. Bless them and guide them, and keep them unspotted from the world. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.